Did Norma McCorvey, that is Jane Roe of Roe v. Wade, who claimed to be pro-life starting in the mid-90s until she died in 2017, did she have a deathbed conversion back to the pro-abortion side? Or, more clearly, is it that she claimed in a documentary that she supposedly didn't really have a pro-life conversion? It was just all about money and getting paid by the pro-life position. Well, that's a very disturbing report, and it's the subject of a new documentary. We're going to talk about this right now with somebody who actually knew Norma McCorvey personally for years. Our guest is Cheryl Sullinger, who's a senior policy advisor for Operation Rescue. And you may recall that Operation Rescue was the specific organization where, at the time, Flip Benham was the president. He befriended Norma McCorvey back in the mid-90s, and this ultimately helped lead to her conversion to Jesus Christ. Or so it is said. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. Cheryl, welcome back to the program. Thanks so much for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
Well, it certainly was an amazing, amazing story, so much so that the pro-abortion side of things just tried to bury the story that Roe of Roe v. Wade no longer agreed with Roe v. Wade. And now they're trying to belittle the story or say that, well, it really wasn't true at all in the first place. So go ahead and wax eloquence about this new documentary that's coming up.
Well, we haven't actually seen the full documentary yet. I believe it airs on Friday, but...
And this is being recorded on Thursday, the day before, but go on.
Okay. So we haven't actually seen the full movie yet, but we have seen trailers and we've seen comments from the filmmakers about the movie. And from what we can tell, we believe that these filmmakers are not portraying the real Norma McCorvey. We knew her. We saw she lived actually in Wichita, where we lived, for about 6 months. We were very close to her at that time. And there's no conceivable way that her pro-life beliefs or her Christian faith were phony, that they were an act, as these people are alleging. Because we knew her. We knew that she was a very honest, really unpolished, truthful person. And so when she had thoughts about something, she wasn't afraid to say it, just flat out. And so to say that the last 22 years of her life were a lie, I just don't believe that that was possible for Norma McCorvey.
Okay, here's what the filmmakers supposedly have on tape. So this is what people can see. Here's Norma McCorvey just about to die. And she died, by the way, in 2017. Quote, unquote, or here we are. And I'm reading from the Daily Beast. Okay, here we go. "This is my deathbed confession," she chuckles, that is Norma McCorvey, sitting in a chair in her nursing home room on oxygen. Sweeney, the producer of the film, Sweeney asks McCorvey, "Did the evangelicals use you as a trophy?" "Of course," she replies, "I was the big fish." "Do you think you would say that you used them?" Sweeney responds. "Well," says McCorvey, "I think it was a mutual thing. I took their money, and they took me out in front of the cameras and told me what to say. That's what I'd say." She even gives an example of her scripted anti-abortion lines. "I'm a good actress," she points out. "Of course, I'm not acting now," end quote. Okay, please wax eloquent on that exchange that a lot of people will see soon.
Well, Norma was a very complex person. She lived a very difficult life. She wasn't very highly educated, and actually public speaking gave her a bit of a fright. So there were times when pro-lifers would try to help her with her speeches and things like that, because honestly, she just wasn't that well educated. She wasn't polished. She's not like the normal kind of speaker that you would hear at a banquet or something. You know what I mean? Not at all. So I think that was just to help her get through the public speaking aspect, which she did happily and of her own free will. But I should say this, that we know that the filmmakers actually did pay Norma, and they were...
They paid her?
The envelope. Yeah, they paid her. She received money. In fact, she... I saw a text message between her and Father Frank Pavone where she was saying that she was going to do this interview because she needed the money and they were going to pay her. And so she was, like, happy she was getting a little bit of money. She never had much money her entire life. And, in fact, the money that she made from doing speaking engagements, which that's a very common thing pretty much in all walks of life. If people are hired to speak at an event, they usually get some sort of an honorarium or,
sure,
you know, they get paid for their – that's normal, right? That, there's no evil motive in that whatsoever. But I think that if she was paid money for anything, it was paid to hire her to speak at events. That's a perfectly normal thing. So, but, yeah, they paid her. But she was at a place where she was at the end of her life. She was very vulnerable. We don't know what kinds of treatment she was under. We don't know how she was manipulated by these people. We know that, like I said, Norma was a very, she could be very raw in her emotions. She had a lot of burden to carry throughout her whole life from her childhood on. She had a very difficult life, and she had to carry a lot of stuff with her through her life. And becoming a Christian helped her,
mm-hmm,
a little bit, but it didn't help 100%. There was just some things that she just carried, and Roe v. Wade was one of them. And she worked longer to overturn Roe v. Wade than she did working as a pro-abortion activist. And like I said, that was her life's work at the end. I believe these people manipulated her, paid her, and did all of the things that they accuse us of doing. We didn't do it, but I really believe they did. I think it's a matter of projection, if you know what I mean.
Did you know Norma McCorvey personally, and are you a leader in the pro-life movement? Are you convinced that she was genuine in her pro-life convictions?
Yes, I knew Norma. Like I said, she lived here in Wichita for a little while. She had Easter dinner at my house one year and spent an afternoon playing pool with my two sons-in-law. So my daughter actually had a very close friendship with Norma, one of my adult daughters. So, yeah, we knew Norma. We saw her in her good moments and in her not-so-good moments, and we loved her. She was witty. She was funny. She was kind. She loved children. There's no way anyone could convince me that she was lying those last 22 years of her life about her pro-life conversion or about her Christian faith.
Didn't she even, as you say, she spent her life's work or whatever at the end was to try and undo Roe v. Wade. Weren't there actual legal cases where, you know, they tried to basically get Roe v. Wade overturned now that Roe didn't disagree with Wade, so to speak? And if she was just faking it, that's just sort of weird to fake it for 22 years. I don't know. That doesn't seem to pass the smell test.
She actually had an attorney, her and the lady who was the...
Yeah, Doe.
Doe versus Bolton.
Doe v. Bolton. Let me just stop. Let me stop real fast. Sandra Cano of Doe v. Bolton was just like Roe v. was like Norma McCorvey in that the ACLU types used these two women and the tragedy in their lives for the two decisions. A lot of people don't realize this, but Roe v. Wade represents not just the one decision on January 22nd, 1973. If you read Roe, it spends so much time on, oh, there's first semester, second trimester, third trimester. We're only talking about the first trimester. But the companion decision from the same day, Doe v. Bolton, allows for exceptions for trimesters 2 and 3. So the two decisions on, you know, in effect, give us abortion on demand. And it turns out that Doe, the plaintiff in the second one, Sandra Cano, was not pro-abortion and was not seeking an abortion, and it was all based on lies, one lie after another. And this is what we've been struggling with, you know, and here we are all these years later with 60 million plus abortions because of all the lies that were told at the Supreme Court and the lies the Supreme Court told in the decisions.
That's correct. But Norma had filed a petition, and so had Sandra Kano, with the Supreme Court to overturn their cases. They submitted affidavits, sworn affidavits, that said that they lied in order to make it look like they were in need of an abortion or, you know, wanted this overturned for one reason or another. But it was their whole story was not true. And so they submitted that to the Supreme Court and asked for the Supreme Court to overturn those two decisions. And, of course, that never happened. They declined to overturn those decisions at that point. But why would she go to all of that trouble? Why would she go to all of that hassle and then have sworn affidavits that were actually more lies? I mean, you know, it's just such a twisted thing that it's just too incredible to even believe. And I don't believe these film makers have any credibility whatsoever. And I think they're just trying to reclaim Jane Roe's legacy for themselves at this point in time. And, you know, we have such a problem with fake news media in our country right now. I mean, it's hard to believe anything that is said. And when you look at the liberal anti-life agenda of these filmmakers, we did a little research on that, just a little. We found, you know, some of the other projects they've been involved in, they're all like immoral, promoting transgender things and, you know, some other things. But they have a very, very liberal agenda. And so these agenda-driven people don't bring an unbiased viewpoint to these pictures. They bring bias. They bring their own bias into these projects. And these projects are made in order to promote a certain agenda. And so I just caution people when they watch this movie that they would remember that this is agenda-driven, not necessarily truth-driven. And it was at a time in a woman's life, a woman who had a very difficult life, who had a lot of baggage, a time in her life where she was extremely vulnerable. And, in fact, she didn't actually live long. But I will tell you this. I've been in communication with Father Frank Pavone, mm-hmm. who helped bring her into the Catholic Church. And he has said that he communicated with her on the day she died.
Right.
And
right.
At that time, he said that she was encouraging him to press on to end abortion on the day she died.
On the day she died.
I do not believe on the day she died. So the movie's last words of Norma McCorvey were not her last words. And
we don't know that. I mean, I don't know when they actually did the filming. We do know it was near the end of her life. It may very well have been the last television interview she did. And by the way, one of the statements she makes is something like, if a woman wants to have an abortion, it's no, you know, skin off my nose. She doesn't say it that way. It's very crude the way she says it, but it almost sounds like, oh, so now she thinks basically she believes in the pro-choice position or the pro-abortion rights. We have less than a minute to go. Cheryl Sullinger, your comments on Norma McCorvey. You know, warts and all, but she was the real thing as far as being pro-life, in your opinion.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No doubt in my mind. And I've talked to a number of other pro-life leaders who also knew her well. We all compared notes, and we all have the same impression, the same memories, and the same beliefs about Norma, that she was very committed to her pro-life beliefs. Right up to the end.
Right up to the end. Well, you know, it's so strange. There's always a battle over history. And, you know, I'm a student of the Founding Fathers, and I see this all the time where history is being rewritten and God is being erased. But I'll give Father Pavone the last word on Norma McCorvey's pro-life conversion. Quote, her desire to protect children in the womb was no act. Cheryl Sullinger, thanks so much for being with us. And your website is OperationRescue.org. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay, thank you so much. God bless. Keep up the great work.
Thank you.